today we are going to module 5, functions of management. Yes, you know, we have different functions like planning, organizing, staffing, directing and controlling, starting with the planning function. All organizations require planning to convert their goals. Planning is done by all business persons. Their goals can be to increase the sales, to increase the profit, to have success in the business. For doing these things, every businessman will have to think about the future. That is planning. We have to go for the definition of planning. That is, planning is defined as thinking in advance what is to be done, when it is to be done, how it is to be done, by whom it is to be done. Yes, an organization should decide what product is to be produced. Yes, when it is to be produced, according to the demand of the customers. Usually textbook materials are prepared and it will be delivered just before the school reopens or before the reopening of the college. Then deciding in advance what is to be done, when it is to be done. Yes, how it is to be done. Yes, process of production. Whether more labor intensive or more machines should be used, or whether which type of material are to be used in order to reduce the cost in that way. How it is to be done. How many laborers are required. All these things will come under this. Then, by whom it is to be done. Yes, laborers. About the laborers. By whom it is to be done. Coming to the features of planning. Planning is the primary function of management. It is the first function to be performed by every manager. Yes, you as an individual should also perform planning function in a proper way. Then you can attain success in a better manner. Planning acts as the base for other functions of management. Which are the other functions of management? Organizing, staffing, directing, controlling. Yes, for deciding the type of organization structure, planning should be done. For deciding the staffing function, planning should be done. For directing which type of workers, what type of direction should be given, for that also planning should be done. For proper controlling the quality of the products, for that also first planning should be done. So planning is the base for other functions of management. Planning is goal directed. A manager should set his goal first, then only he will be clear that what he should attain. In staffing, the employees are appointed. The number and type of employees depends on the goal of the organization. That is why I have said, as a feature of planning, planning is goal directed. First feature I have mentioned, planning is the primary function of management. Second feature, planning is goal directed. Third feature, planning is pervasive. Planning is required at all levels of management. Who all are the managers? Top level, middle level and lower level managers. Top level managers will set major plans, important plans of every organization. Middle level managers, that is departmental heads, will prepare the departmental plans. Lower level managers make plans to support the overall objective of the organization. That is, in order to carry out the day-to-day functions of an organization, lower level managers will fix certain plans. So planning is pervasive. That is, it is required at all levels of management. Similarly, in all types of organization. Also, whether it is a government organization, non-governmental organization, profit-making organization, non-profit-making organization, wherever it is, planning is needed. So it is pervasive. Then planning is futuristic. That is also a feature of planning. Planning is never done for the past. All the managers try to make predictions for the future. Yes, you have to do plans for the future only. But these predictions are made on the basis of the past experience of the manager. So planning is futuristic. Another feature of planning is an intellectual activity. It is a mental exercise which requires high thinking. In planning, various alternatives are evaluated and the most suitable alternative is selected. This requires high level of intelligence. That is why I have mentioned it is an intellectual activity, or planning is an intellectual process. So that is also a feature of planning. Then planning is a continuous process. When the environment of the business changes, planning or planners will have to make changes in the plan according to the requirements of the company. For example, if the plan is made during boom period and during its execution there occurred depression, then the planners will change the plan as per the depression period. Planning involves choice. This is also another feature of planning. Planning is needed only when different alternatives are available. If there is only one alternative, there is no need for planning. We have to select that alternative. If there are more than one alternative, then only we will go for the selection of the best alternative. That is the planning process. For example, to import the technology, if the license is given only to one government company, then all the companies in India had no choice. Yes, they have to depend on this company to import the technology. But if there are 4 or 5 agencies who can import this technology, then planning is needed. Then coming to the importance of planning. Planning helps in decision making, or it helps in providing direction. Planning is concerned with predetermined course of action and it provides the direction to the efforts of the employees. So planning makes clear what employees have to do and how they should do. Then it helps in decision making. As another importance of planning, I would like to say, In planning, goals are set in advance and predictions are made for the future. These predictions help the manager to take decisions fastly. Then another importance of planning, it reduces the risk of uncertainties. Why? Because planners foresee the future on the basis of their past experience. So they can ascertain what all uncertainties can occur for that particular organization. So they will be able to overcome such uncertainties. For example, fire, any other natural calamities, etc., they can predict. So on the basis of that, they can reduce the risk of uncertainties. Planning integrates the task of every employees. What is the benefit of this? Yes, integration will help in effective coordination and that will help in performing the work in a better manner. Yes, if I am saying that, it is only one sentence and 1 second only I took, but it is a difficult process. Planning will help the organization to merge with the changing environment and to face challenges. Planning with an element of flexibility will make the organization to adapt to the new situation. Another importance of planning is planning reduces overlapping of work. Planning avoids wasteful activities. Planning ensures clarity of work and actions. This helps to carry out the work smoothly so that there will not be any overlapping of work and there will not be every wasteful activities. After the planning, manager knows what the work is to be done, then he will assign the work to the correct persons and so that same work will not be given to more than two persons, that is known as overlapping of work. Similarly, wasteful activities while taking the equipments during the production process, sometimes if the equipment are kept at a far place, then the worker has to move to that place, then he should come to the place where the machinery is kept, so that time required for going there and coming back to the machinery will take long time, so that may affect his fatigue, or he will become tired after doing the work continuously for long hours. So such wasteful activities can be avoided with the help of planning. Another importance of planning is planning forces the managers to think differently and assume the future conditions. So it makes the managers innovative. It makes the managers creative. So this, as I said, these are the importance of planning. That is, it reduces the risk of uncertainty. It helps in decision making. It integrates the work in an organization. It helps the managers to act according to the changing environment. It reduces overlapping of work, and it helps the managers to be innovative. Let us move to the limitations of planning. Once plans are made to decide the future activities, managers may not be in a position to change them. If the business environment changes after setting the main plan, then sometimes positive results cannot be achieved by the organization. So you can include this as a limitation of planning. Planning is an expensive process, another limitation of planning. Yes, it requires the involvement of professionals or experts. When experts are coming, definitely high amount should be given to them as remuneration. Along with the salary of these experts, the company has to spend lot of time and money to collect accurate facts. Another limitation of planning is delay in actions may occur. For example, there can be change in the economic policy. There can be change in the fashion or trend. There can be change in the competitor's policy. These changes should be evaluated well by a planner. For doing this, time is required. So we can say that it may delay the actions of the manager. Another limitation of planning is planning does not guarantee success. Some managers will rely on the pre-tested plans. It is not true that if a plan has worked successfully in past, it will bring success in the future also. There can be many unknown factors which may lead to failure in the plan. Planning provides a base for analyzing future, and it is not a solution for the future course of action. So planning does not guarantee success at some point of time if the manager is not acting properly. At each and every step, manager should act properly according to the changing environment. Then coming to the planning process, first step in planning is setting the objective. Manager begins with setting up of objectives, like policies, procedures, methods are to be framed to attain the objective. Managers prefer to set the goals which can be achieved quickly or in specific limit of time. So this question can also come, which is to explain the first step in the planning process. So you have to write, first step in the planning process is setting the objective, and you have to give explanation for it. Then second step is developing planning premises. Premises means assumptions regarding future. Premises are the base on which plans are made. It is a kind of forecast made keeping in view existing plans and any past information about various policies. Yes, now you are thorough with the assumptions. First you have set the objectives, then you have to assume whether it is having a positive consequence or negative consequence. Then come listing the various alternatives for attaining the objective. That is the next step in the planning process. After setting the objective, managers should make a list of alternatives through which the organization can attain its objectives. If the objective is to increase the sales by 10%, then the sale can be increased by adding more type of products, or by offering discount, or by increasing expenditure on advertisement, or by increasing the share in the market. So manager should list out these alternatives and then fix the plan. So first step in planning process is setting the goal. Then second, I have told you have to make certain assumptions, that is planning premises. On the basis of the assumptions, you have to list out various alternatives. That is the third step. Then evaluation of different alternatives. Yes, after making the list of various alternatives, along with the assumptions supporting them, the manager should evaluate each and every alternative. In that process, he should identify which are the positive aspects of every alternative, which are the negative aspects of every alternative. Manager should eliminate negative aspects and should try to include the positive aspects in his plan or while selecting. So, as in the process of evaluation, he will identify the positive and negative aspects of each alternative. Then next step is selecting an alternative. The best alternative is selected. Instead of selecting one alternative, a combination of different alternatives can also be selected. The most ideal plan is most feasible, is most profitable, and which will have least negative consequence. Then next process is implementation of the plan. Managers prepare the draft of the plan and then they will implement the plan, that is putting the plan into action. For that, managers will communicate the plan to all the employees very clearly, and employees will carry out these activities as per the instructions given by the manager. Then last step or last process, I would like to say, follow-up action should be done by the managers. Planning is a continuous process, so manager's job is to put the plan into action and monitor the plan carefully while it is being implementing. Monitoring is very important because it helps to verify the conditions in the present situation, whether it is working out properly or not. So planning process, which are the steps in the planning process? Setting up of objectives, developing premises, listing the various alternatives, evaluation of various alternatives, selecting an alternative, implementation and follow-up action. Then we have types of plans like objectives. Objectives are the ends towards which activities are to be directed. We can have objective like increase in sales by 10%. Decrease in rejections by 2%, like that objective can be set. Strategy is also a type of plan. That is, a strategy is a comprehensive plan to attain the organizational objective. To determine long-term objective, strategies are made. That is, it is adopting a particular course of action. Strategies, for example, choice of advertising media is a strategy. Sales promotion technique, which one company has adopted, that is a strategy. Channels of distribution that is used by one company to sell its product, that is also another strategy. Policies, another type of plan. Policy can be defined as organization's general response to a particular problem. Organization will have its own way of handling the problem, and policies are made at every level because managers at every level need to decide the way to handle a situation. For example, no credit sales policy. So that can be a policy when a new product is introduced in the market. Like that, any policies can be framed. Admission to the students will be given only for more than those who have attained more than 55% marks for this. This is a high level an educational institution. So like that, they can frame their own policies internally. Then procedures are required steps established in advance to handle future conditions. For example, in admission of a particular school, setting up a file for applicant, accepting the forms, then asking for certificates to verify, putting all the documents in that concerned file, give the file to admission in charge. Like that, we can have procedures or steps. Rules, that is actions that is to be done by the employees, or non-actions of the employees. There is no discretion allowed in rules. They must be followed strictly, and if rules are not followed, then strict actions can be taken against the employees. Then coming to another type of plan, that is program. Program is a combination of goals, policies, procedures and rules. For example, construction of a shopping mall, development of a new product. For that, certain goals are to be framed, policies are to be framed, procedures are to be framed, rules are to be framed. Then coming to method as a type of plan, that is a formalized or systematic way of doing routine jobs. For the valuation of the stock, some of the companies will apply LIFO method, that is last in first out method. Some companies will adopt FIFO method, that is first in first out method. So we had gone to different types of plan. Then going to another function of management, which is known as the organizing. Yes, organizing means identifying and grouping different activities in an organization and bringing together physical resources, financial resources and human resources. For what we are bringing together these resources? To establish more productive relations and for the attainment of the goals of the organization. So organizing means arranging everything orderly and making most efficient use of resources. Organizational process. What are the steps in organizing? First, we have to identify the work that is to be done by each and every employee. Then we have to divide the work, division of work, as another step. Organizing function begins with the division of total work into small units, and each unit of total work is called a job. The division of work into smaller jobs lead to specialization. Have you seen a person who is doing typing work continuously? He will become an expert in that particular work. Why? Because he is doing that work regularly, continuously for a long period of time. So he will become an expert in that field. That is why division of work is necessary while performing organizing function. Then second process, grouping the jobs and departmentalization. After dividing the work in organizing process, the related jobs are to be grouped together and put under one department. Departmentation means putting similar work under one department. We have functional departmentation and divisional departmentation. Under functional departmentation, jobs related to common functions are grouped under one department. For example, all the jobs relating to production are put under production department. All jobs relating to sales are put under sales department. Then divisional departmentation. when an organization is producing more than one type of product, then they prefer divisional departmentation. Under this, the job relating to one product are grouped under one department. For example, if an organization is producing cosmetics, textiles, and medicines, then jobs relating to production, sale, and marketing of cosmetics are grouped under one department. Jobs relating to production, sale, and marketing of textiles are grouped under another department. Then, so first step in the organizing process, identifying and division of work. Then second, grouping the jobs and departmentalization. Third is assignment of duties. After dividing the organization into separate departments, each individual working in different departments should be given certain duty. According to his skill and qualification, he should be given duty. The work is assigned according to the ability of the individual. Employees are assigned duties by giving them a document known as job description. Then, as a last step in the organizing process, establishing reporting relationship. So, first step, identifying and division of work. Second step, grouping of jobs and departmentalization. Third step, assignment of duties. Fourth step, establishing reporting relationship. Yes, what is that? After grouping the activities in different departments, employees have to perform the job. To perform the job, every individual needs certain authority. So, all individuals are assigned some authority matching to the job and matching to his qualification. The assignment of authority results in creating superior subordinate relationship. Yes, it should be very clear who should report to whom. So, that should be established, that should be written clearly while doing the organizing function. Organizing, what are the importance of organizing function? I have already told it will help in division of work, so it will help in specialization. As the work is divided, each individual is very clear what is the work that should be performed. So, there is clarity in working relationship. As another importance of organizing, you can write clarity in working relationship. Another importance of organizing, optimum utilization of resources. Every worker is given job according to his capacity and according to the requirements of the organization. So, optimum utilization of resources as another importance of organizing. Then, coordination is also possible because it is so clear who should be responding to whom. So, there will be proper coordination and control. This will help in the expansion of growth of the organization. Then, we have already studied functional and divisional structure. We can go for formal structure. Yes, formal structure is one that is set by the organization. When the managers are carrying on organization process, a structure is created, and that is known as a formal structure. That is, in the formal structure, it will clearly tell the job that is to be performed by each worker. What will be the authority? What will be the responsibility of each worker? What type of superior subordinate relationship exists in that organization? Designation of each and every individual. So, that structure is known as a formal structure. Formal structure is created intentionally by the organization. Purpose is to attain the goals of the organization, and every individual is given a job in the formal structure. There is a fixed authority in each worker in the formal structure, and it's such a structure help in the creation of superior subordinate relationship. We have informal organization structure, which is created automatically without any intended effort of the managers. Yes, persons who have same interests will communicate each other, will form their own structures. And communication through this structure is very fast. Informal organization structure is performed by individuals to get psychological satisfaction. Yes, persons who have some specialties in music will form their own group in the organization. Persons who have specialties in computer will form their own structures. So these structures are known as informal structure. Informal structure does not follow any fixed path or flow of authority. That is, there is no fixed path for flowing the communication. Source of information cannot be known under informal structure, as any person can communicate with anyone in the organization. So that is about informal structure. Then we should know about delegation, another term. In every organization, managers are assigned a lot of work. He alone will not be able to perform all this work. So he will divide the work among different employees working in that organization. He deliberately passes some of his responsibilities to his subordinates, and this process is known as delegation. Delegation will help in employees' development, it will motivate the employees, it will help in the organizational growth, it will help in better coordination. There are three elements of delegation, like responsibility, authority and accountability. Responsibility means obligation to perform the work as intended by the authority. Authority means power to take decisions. Accountability means answerability of a subordinate to perform the work as intended by the authorities. So, three elements in delegation is authority, responsibility and accountability. Yes, moving to another function known as staffing. Success of any organization depends not only on the physical and financial resources, but mainly on the human resources of an organization. That is why staffing is an important function of every organization. Staffing consists of manpower planning, recruitment, selection, training, compensation, promotion and maintenance of workers. As an importance of staffing function, I would like to say, it will help to obtain competent persons in an organization. Yes, competent staff can be appointed only if you are performing the staffing function. That is, placing the right person at the right job is possible with the help of the staffing function. Definitely, it will help in the growth of the enterprise. So, that is also another importance of staffing. And that will help in the optimum utilization of human resources and other resources, because right person is placed in the right job. Then, human resources management. It is a part of the management process which develops and manages the human element of the enterprise. Human resources management involves determining the organization's need of human resources, recruitment, selection, training, developing, compensating and rewarding the employees. So, it involves various activities relating to staffing. Then, moving to steps in staffing process. First is the estimating manpower requirements. Staffing process begins with the estimation of manpower requirement. That means, finding the number and type of employees needed in the organization. Type of manpower means what should be the qualification or educational background of the persons whom we need to appoint. While assessing the type of manpower, companies should make policy regarding the number of people to be appointed from various sections. For estimating manpower requirement, company will have to take three steps, like workload analysis, workforce analysis and comparison. Workload analysis requires finding number and type of employees required to perform various jobs in that particular organization. Workforce analysis means analyzing existing workforce. that is analyzing the employees already occupying the job position. How many of them are overburdened, how many of them are underburdened. Such a comparison is also required at this stage. Then, first step I have mentioned in the staffing process, estimating manpower requirement, that is identifying the number and type of workers that is required in an organization. Second step is recruitment. Searching out the prospective candidates and stimulating them to apply for various jobs in an organization, that is known as recruitment. Searching and stimulating them to apply for your organization, that is known as recruitment. That is why we have seen advertisements in the newspapers while seeing that students who are interested will apply for certain jobs in that particular organization. Then third step is selection, that is choosing the most suitable candidate for various job positions in an organization. Recruitment is a positive process because it involves it is a process of stimulating the applicants to apply for various jobs in an organization. All of them who are interested will apply for that job. So it is a positive process. Selection is a negative process. Sometimes you have to reject certain candidates who have applied, and so it is a negative process. Then placement. Placement means occupying of post by the candidate for which he is selected. After selection, the employee is given appointment letter. Then he should occupy the vacant job position. So, as a first step in staffing process, I have mentioned estimating manpower requirement, second recruitment, third selection, fourth placement and orientation. Orientation means introduction of new employees to the existing employees, or making the new employees familiar with the new organizational setup. For that, some sort of induction process is needed in an organization. And after that, training and development is very important, that is to improve the competency of employees. In order to motivate the employees, every organization should provide training and development opportunities for employees so that they can improve their skill. After this, performance appraisal comes, that is after taking training and performing the job for some times, the employee's performance must be evaluated. Performance appraisal means evaluating the performance of employees against certain standards set by the organization. Yes, after that, promotion and career planning is also needed. Promotion means placing at a higher job position, placing an employee at a higher job position with higher pay, and this can lead to job satisfaction. This will increase more responsibility. This will increase responsibility also. Then compensation is also a factor affecting staffing process. Compensation means price of the job, that is it includes pay, reward and any other incentives given to the employees. Direct payments such as wages, salaries, etc. Indirect payments such as medical facility, insurance, etc. can also be included under this compensation. We have internal sources of recruitment, that is those who have experience from the organization will be recruited, that is internal sources of recruitment. Sometimes we will recruit persons from external sources also, that is from outside. Then another function of management is directing. It is concerned with instructing, guiding, inspiring and motivating the employees. Yes, instruction is given, guidance is given and motivation is also given to the employees. For what we are doing this? Through direction, we want to attain the goals of the organization. For that process, we are doing this. Direction helps to initiate the actions of the employees. If proper direction is given in an organization, employees' efforts can be integrated. It will motivate the employees, because if the employees are confused, then they will be given proper direction to move in a particular way by the manager. It will help in making changes in the organization. When the company is planning to computerize its working, generally the employees will hesitate to accept it, as they were not aware of this technology. But when in the direction function, the employees are guided that through change, they will also be updated and they will also get a chance to learn new technology, so that they will be able to produce good quality products in the market. In that way, some guidance is given by the manager, then it will help the employees to change according to the changing situations. Elements of directing includes supervision, motivation, leadership and communication. Supervision means instructing, guiding, motivating and observing the employees while performing jobs in an organization. Yes, employees should be observed, then only they can be evaluated. So that is an element of direction, supervision. Then another element of direction is motivation. Stimulating the employees to perform to their best capacity. We have financial motivational technique, non-financial motivational technique like acceptance, giving acceptance to the employees, financial motivation like increasing the pay, giving participation in the shares, like that. Financial and non-financial motivational techniques are being adopted by every organization. So, supervision, motivation, leadership. Leadership is a process of influencing the behavior of people at work towards the achievement of a specific goal. Yes, for attaining certain goals, leaders should frame certain policies for making the workers involved for attaining the goals. Then communication is also an element of direction, that is transmission of ideas or exchange of ideas or views or message between two or more persons, especially in an organization, between the manager and the employees, communication should be done. So in this session we have tried to cover planning, organizing, staffing and directing functions of management.